Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and boy, you talk about a great run in television. During his more than four-decade run on Days of Our Lives, Teo Pinglis has kept the plots twisting and the passions burning by playing two look-alike villains, Count Tony DiMera and his impersonator, Andre DiMera. And he's got a lot going on. He's a cookbook that's out, Seducing Celebrities One Meal at a Time, and a podcast. Teo joins us here in the National Defense. Teo, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, and I appreciate the connection. That was very well done.
Thank you.
Talking about those characters, it sounds like you're twirling your mustache.
It does, and it's got to feel like that for you, right?
Well, yeah, you know, but it's amazing. People put up clips of the show through the years, and I don't remember some of them. That's how many. I have done over 1,500 shows.
Wow.
And so, after a while, you know, it clogs the mind having to learn that much dialogue. And so that's why I used to, as soon as I could, I'd take a journey overseas. And the thing that I always loved was finding what was the food of that culture. So that's how I explored cooking. I started cooking when I was like 18 because my mother overcooked everything. I felt the lamb was too dry, the chicken was overcooked, the vegetables were overcooked. So I used to think there's got to be something better than this. And so I learned how people prepare foods, especially for me, you know, in vegetables. I like to cook. Once the water has boiled, I take the vegetables out. So they're still crisp and you haven't gotten rid of all the vitamins in the water. So, and that was the beginnings of it. And then when I went to the Middle East, you know, it was interesting to go to a country like Jordan and see how people eat with their fingers, you know. And then you go to people and meet the people in France and you see all the manners and the contrast of the way they look upon food. For me, it's, a celebration about how you reward yourself for having gone through the day. And that's why every night, people use food as a convenience. They eat fast. They have to, if they're rushing to a movie or to a play, and I'm thinking, my God, you're not doing well to the body. And I thought to myself, I'd like to do a book about nutrition, how we must take care of the body, and that's the only one we have, and how do we keep it and give it longevity, and that's by treating it with respect, and at the same time, telling the body how much you love oneself by taking care of it. And that's why I'm always interested to know what the latest is on the foods and make sure that if you can afford it, not to eat all those foods that are sprayed, because, you know, in the end, that's what affects our bodies. Yeah, I mean, so many people are getting cancer these days.
Absolutely. And my wife and I talk about that all the time, about just the incidence of not just cancer, but other diseases that, you know, it can be caused by some of the processed foods and that you eat. We're talking to Teo Pinglis here on the National Defense, his cookbook reissue, Seducing Celebrities One Meal at a Time. And is it mainly Greek food that you cook?
No. I cook what I... It's my interpretation. It's like my sister-in-law said to me in Australia last year when we were preparing for the Christmas dinner. She said, you know, you're interesting. You're not a chef who cooks from a cookbook. You just put it in your head and you're saying, okay, I'm going to do this. One thing about food is you're constantly discovering on preparation. I just found a wonderful pasta that I do with truffle oil and shiitake mushrooms and pine nuts, raw peas, and mint and basil. It's also the aroma. You know, even though it's not really cooked except for the pasta and the shiitake mushrooms, but the aroma that it creates, so that when people sit down or when they enter, the aroma of the room is wonderful. It makes them hungry. And you always know with people, they'll go, especially actors, they always believe it's their last meal. So they go to the table, just, you know, eat what's there. And some people forget that there's other guests. And I've had to remind some of my friends who who take a call, who'll eat all the shrimp or who'll eat the oysters or do whatever. And I said, no, there are people coming.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, they talk about you having some legendary dinner parties at your Hollywood Hills home, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, you know, it's I've had a lot of the cast from the show, but I've cooked for many celebrities and, you know, through the years. And I think Doris Roberts, who did All About Raymond, she was one of my favorites because we also studied together with Milton Katselis in Los Angeles and New York. And she used to sit at the head of the table. She used to sit in my chair, because that was Doris. She'd come in and she'd say, she'd bring a bottle of Dom Perignon. And I thought, oh, isn't she generous? And then find out 5 minutes later, would you open my champagne for me? So it wasn't for the house.
Yeah, right, right. Oh, I love that. We're talking to Teo Pinglis here on the National Defense's book, Seducing Celebrities One Meal at a Time. And so this book is basically you imagining, just kind of envisioning what foods different celebrities would like to have, right?
Yes. Each celebrity that I talk about, some I have cooked for, and those I haven't, I have worked with. And so through their kind of personality, I kind of say, oh, okay, they would be into this. And that with Omar Sharif, when I worked with him in Zagreb in Yugoslavia at the time, he loved champagne and caviar. And then, you know, we would have different types of meals. Yes. Well, you know, some people, they don't like things that smell fishy. So, but I love, you know, caviar, and I love caviar in pasta. And so, so with him, I worked with him for 6 weeks, had a phenomenal time with him. We really clicked. And, you know, he was quite the gentleman, but a bit of a snob. But, you know, he had thought at one point that I reminded him of his son, except that he married a hooker. And you know, he was quite the charmer. So you know, the different people, like Telly Savalas, when he doing Kojak, and that was one of the first shows I ever did. And then from there, I did a play called Play with Fire at the Geffen Theater, and he was such a gentleman to me. I was shocked. I didn't have many lines, and I was just beginning, and I was lying there on the ground, shot, and it was all wet. It was in Long Beach at 5 a.m. And he looked down and he said to me, "Are you Greek?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "Get up." So he pulled me up and took me to his van, and we had brandy at 5 a.m.
Oh, wow. Are you familiar with Debbie Matenopoulos?
Debbie, yeah, wait there. The name is very familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't she on the talk show?
So, yeah, Debbie had a talk show, put out a Greek cookbook that I have, and some great reimaginings of some meals in there for sure. But I want to talk about your podcast too, Lost Treasures. Yes. How long have you been doing that?
Well, you know, it's my first podcast, but I've been, for 20 years, I've been interested in Schliemann, who discovered Troy and Mycenae and the great treasures. And I thought one day, after going through 60,000 documents in the Gennadius Library in Athens for 2 weeks, I thought, there's a story here I want to do. I don't know in what format. I wrote a script on it. When I came back for 3 months, I just wrote everything I knew about him. And then one day someone said, this should be a podcast. And so I started the podcast, part one, Discovering Troy. Part two was Finding the Great Treasures of Mycenae, of Agamemnon and the Trojan War. And then the third had to be about Ulysses and bringing him home after 3,000 years. And so I had to fly to Kefalonia and meet with his archaeologists and geologists over there, who are telling us today that the real island is not where they think it was. It is somewhere else. And so I went exploring that for a couple of weeks. They were just wonderful British historians. And so I started to walk the path of Ulysses, and then I had a wonderful lunch above Forkers Bay, and I was sitting there with the archaeologist, and he said to me, that's where Ulysses came home.
Oh, wow.
After 20 years.
Wow.
And so I had to go to swim in that water, because the reason why there is an enigma about this island, Ithaca, is because in the 4th to 6th century AD, an earthquake happened that was so huge, and then a tidal wave came down a mountain, and the whole thing, two islands became one. And so now they're rediscovering that. So I found that to be an interesting story. And then because of all the history that I've been involved in my life, exploring, especially in Egypt and in Greece and Italy, I wrote the fourth one. And, the trouble I got into, and I did. I mean, I've been pulled out of cars by Hezbollah, who thought I was an Israeli spy and thrown against the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you're quite the Renaissance man, Teo. I mean, this is incredible. The things that you're involved in and interested in. Thank you so much for the time, and congratulations on all the great success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.